Our first reading this morning is from 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. Feeding 100. A man came from Baal, Halishash, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread, baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said. "How can I set this before 100 men?" his servant asked. But Elisha answered, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says, they will eat and have some left over." Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Kia mo tonu tāna kupu kia tātou. Now, Holy Gospel is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 to 21. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamomiti, te kororia, ki te atua. The feeding of the 5,000. See, I told you it was coming last week. That's why I knew. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd coming towards him, and he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go amongst so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. There were about 5,000 men there. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed for about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. This is the Gospel of Christ. Te rongapai tene a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamomi titi ia te kupu mana.
Well, this morning we're looking at, we're very slowly and gently through the year, making our way through Mark's Gospel. And we've got to Mark chapter 6, and we've done the whole, all of Mark chapter 6. And we're taking a little break for a few weeks, at this point, where in Mark chapter 6, Jesus feeds the 5,000, right? So Jesus feeds the 5,000, then he walks on the water, you know, and then does some more things. That's where we sort of got to in Mark's gospel. And we're taking a break for a few weeks to look in depth at the feeding of the 5,000. And we're doing that by going into John's gospel, John chapter 6. It's funny that, you know, the chapters line up like that. They don't normally, but they do here. So John chapter 6 is John's account of that same event, of the feeding of the 5,000. But in typical John fashion, he really goes into it in detail. And you hear some, like, John's gospel is full of kind of extra teaching that Jesus gave the disciples and that they treasured. And then, you know, it turns up in John's gospel. The Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you see Jesus doing stuff, and he, you know, and he does teach as well, and all that kind of thing. But in John's gospel, there's something about, you know, if the gospel writer was the one who laid his head on Jesus' breast, you know, at the Last Supper, and heard, you know, how you recline. You remember reclining back in those days, yeah? When you have a meal, you recline, you don't sit, you know, you kind of lie down. And one of them was obviously sitting next to Jesus, but instead of sitting, you're lying down. So, and he leant back and put his head on Jesus' breast. And there's something about that. Nothing happens in John's gospel by accident, but there's something about that, I think, where he hears the heartbeat of God. And there are these intimate moments throughout John's gospel where you hear the heartbeat of God. And Jesus, unpacks things at another level. And you hear Jesus speaking at another level that you don't hear so much in the other three gospels. So we're going into John's gospel to hear a little bit more, to hear maybe the heartbeat of God, hopefully, and to hear a little bit more of what the feeding of the 5,000 was all about. Is that right? Because if it's not, tough, because we're going to do it anyway.
Really sorry.
No. And I'm only doing what I've been told. So in John chapter 6 is what we heard today. And I'm going to just say one other introductory thing, and that is, in all of four Gospels, there are only, apart from the death and resurrection of Jesus, which appears obviously in all four Gospels and goes into, there's a lot of detail on that, there are only three things which occur, three events which occur in all four Gospels. Anyone have a guess or know what they are? So, the birth of Jesus isn't in Mark, actually. So, yeah, good try. Yeah, I would have thought that, but no, it's not in Mark's gospel. So, any others? So I'm saying crucifixion is in all four, but apart from the crucifixion and resurrection, what else? Feeding of the 5,000 is one of them. Come on. The clue is in one. Yeah, the context. Not water into wine, calling your disciples. Lazarus, no, that's just in John. Baptism is another one. Yeah, Jesus' baptism is mentioned in all of them, or, you know, John the Baptist, shall we say, because in John's gospel, you don't actually see Jesus be baptized, but you hear John talking about it, and there's lots of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is in all, you know, that whole wilderness John the Baptist-y bit is in all the gospels, all four. The feeding of the 5,000, and the third one is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. That's in all four Gospels. So it's those three things. And it's like, almost like you could say it's prophet, priest, and king, because Jesus is the Christ, isn't he? He's the Christ, which means the anointed one. Christ means anointed. If you anoint someone, you know, sometimes when we pray for people, we get some oil and we put the oil on their forehead. You know, and that's anointing with oil. It means you pour oil or put oil on someone, or, you know, some kind of balm on people. Balm, that's a word we don't use very often. So Jesus is the anointed one, and he's anointed, and that's what Messiah means. Christ is the Greek word for anointed, and Messiah is the Hebrew word for anointed, right? So Jesus is the anointed one. He is anointed with the Spirit of God. And in the Old Testament, three people were anointed with oil. Three people were anointed. Three types of people. Prophets, priests, and kings. And so in all four Gospels, you've got the prophet, John the Baptist, who comes as a prophet announcing the one who's going to come after me. So Jesus has got this prophetic heritage in his ministry. Jesus is a prophet, and in our reading today, they call him a prophet, don't they? And throughout, you know, different points in the Gospels. So Jesus is a prophet. And John the Baptist, feeding of the 5,000 is like a priestly activity. It occurs in all of them, all four Gospels. And it's priestly because we're going to go into this in the next few weeks, but we're talking about the sacrifice that Jesus makes of himself. Jesus connects the feeding of the 5,000 in John's Gospel to his own giving of himself. And he starts saying things like, unless you eat me of my flesh and my blood and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And he says, I am the living bread which comes down out of heaven. I am the living bread which comes down out of heaven. Unless you partake of me, unless you imbibe me, you cannot have eternal life. So Jesus is the bread of heaven. He is the one who has sacrificed for us, and he is the one who gives himself for us. Anyway, we'll come into all of that in later weeks. So prophet, priest, and king, triumphal entry, kind of pretty obvious, eh? You know, that is the coming of the king, the new king. So there's a little introduction. So we're looking at this little bit of John's Gospel. Is that right? You happy? Okay, cool. Blah, blah, blah. So this takes place, it says at the beginning of our reading, at what time? Did anyone notice what time it takes place? Yeah, near Passover. So John, again, he does nothing by accident, and he says nothing by accident. This is, you know, he's like, at the beginning of chapter 6, he's going, this, feeding of the 5,000, it takes place at Passover time. And Passover is the central kind of identifying act, or, you know, thing that happened to the people of God, the children of Israel, the Jewish people. It is their central kind of memorial act throughout, every year. When it gets to this point, it's the thing that really says about them and to them who they are. This is who we are. We are the people that God called out of Egypt into the promised land. And we went through the Red Sea, and we went through the wilderness, and God took us out of slavery, out of darkness, out of there was spiritual oppression in Egypt. There's all sorts of stuff going on. You know, Moses had to do some things with, you know, his staff and snakes and all that kind of thing, because in the Egyptian magicians, they could do all of that. There was like all sorts of weird as spiritual stuff going on. There was slavery, there was oppression, and they came out of all of that into the promised land, and they became the people of God, the children of Israel. You know, they were called by God into the promised land. That's what Passover is about. And into that context, Jesus gathers all these people. These people gather around Jesus. And you hear all sorts of extra details in John's Gospel, which we can't go into. But there's beautiful things like Andrew and Philip, you know, in John's Gospel. They seem to be the people who are kind of really with the people that Jesus is reaching out to. So it's Andrew and Philip, you know, they find the boy with the loaves and the fishes. And they bring the loaves and the fishes, and Jesus does this act, which in Mark's Gospel, he says he takes the bread, And then he blesses it, and then he breaks it, and then he gives it to the people. And those are exactly the same four actions that Mark then says at the Last Supper, when just before Jesus dies, he shares the Last Supper, you know, with his disciples, and he takes the bread, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he gives it to them and says, "This is my body, which is given for you." And in John's gospel, he says, "I am the bread of heaven," you know, which is very similar words. So John's giving us lots of background, and many see and have, you know, the whole history of Christianity seen John's gospel, John's chapter 6 of John's gospel, as being a kind of unpacking of what's going on at communion. This meal that Jesus gave us. So, that's what, again, what we'll be going into more in the weeks to come. You all right with that? Okay. So, I don't want to take anything away from what we're going to say in coming weeks about bread of heaven and all that kind of thing. So I'm not going to do that now. I'm going to hold back. And we'll look at that in weeks to come. But I just wanted to kind of give a heads up of that's what we're, the context, and there's a few sort of background bits and pieces for the next few weeks. And then I want to, if that's okay, to just leave that on one side for a moment, and we'll come back to it next week and the week after, and look more at what it means for Jesus to be the bread of life, the bread of heaven. But for this morning, I just want to look at that moment where Jesus, first of all, walks on the water, okay? Again, this is a Passover kind of context and a Passover setting. When God rescued the people of Israel from Egypt and took them into the Promised Land, what did they have to go through? The Red Sea, yeah. And then after that, they went through the wilderness, right? But first of all, they go through the Red Sea. And Jesus comes to the disciples in this passage, and it's no accident, John's sort of highlighting it, by walking on the water. It's like he is crossing through the sea. The sea is at his command, not the other way around. The sea does not get in Jesus' way. And the storms don't get in Jesus' way. And he can walk across water. And I think it's just John again saying Passover, you know, bread from heaven, manna, you know, Jesus calls it, you know, all of these things. And the walking on the water, this is, you know, crossing the Red Sea. This is all about Jesus coming to rescue you and me from darkness, from slavery, from spiritual oppression, from all those forces, and taking us into the Promised Land. And the Promised Land, obviously, is heaven, and it's heaven on earth, and it's wherever Jesus is. And Jesus is with us now, right? We're in the Promised Land, you and me. We might not be fully in it, but we're in it. We're touching it, you know? And one day we will be fully in it. Jesus is the one who's come to rescue us, to take us through the Red Sea, through the wilderness into the Promised Land. And there's just these two verses in there, which I'm going to read to you now, that I really felt that God was maybe putting, sort of wanting to highlight for us this morning. So just as we get to the end of the passage, it says this: "When evening came, Jesus' disciples went down to the sea, and after getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. And it had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them." It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. I've felt times where it's dark. Even recently, I felt times where it's dark. And I felt like Jesus hasn't yet come to me. And I want Jesus to come to me. And it's a cold and dark and lonely place. Has anyone ever felt like that? If you haven't, I'm so glad for you. And you're just crying out, and it might be in the middle of the night, it might be at 2 a.m. or 4 a.m, and you're just like, Lord, this is a hard place. I'm in a hard place. But come to me, and you can't hear him yet. Come to me, Lord Jesus, help me. Man, I'm pray for, you know, for you guys, for everyone, that that actually, you know, you don't have to go through that. But I think most of us do, don't we? Lord, come to me. It says here that it had already become dark and Jesus had not yet come to them. And the sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. When therefore they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they beheld Jesus walking on the sea and were drawing near to the boat. And he was drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. But Jesus said to them, and this is the other thing that I wanted to say. Jesus said to them these simple words, "It is I. It is I. Stop fearing." That's how it comes out in the Greek. Stop fearing. That's one way of saying it. It is I. Stop fearing. And in those cold and dark moments where Jesus hasn't yet come to us, we can hold out and hold on because he is coming to us, because he is the one who has taken us from the land of darkness into the land of light, who has taken us from oppression by his blood, by his cross, by his resurrection, and into the promised land. And when Jesus says to us, "It is I," that's all I need to hear. That's all I need to hear. It is I. And I'm like, oh, thank good. That's all I need to hear. Jesus is with me. He has released me from those things. It is I. Stop fearing. Stop being afraid. And he almost doesn't need to add the stop fearing, stop being afraid. Because when I know his presence with me, it is I, then I've got everything. And so my prayer for us this morning, for us as we pray, as we worship, and for us as we come to communion and receive from Jesus, we don't need to worry about the details of how it works, communion, just that Jesus gives himself to us in communion. However it works, that's what happens. Jesus is giving himself to us. He's sharing himself. He's saying, "This is my body, this is my blood. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. You know, unless you eat of me, da 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 da." And as we receive from him this morning, as Jesus gives himself to us, let's hear his words to us saying, "It is I. It is I. Be not afraid. Stop fearing. It is I. I've rescued you from darkness. I have brought you into the light. I am with you. I'm with you always. I'm with you even when you think it's cold and dark and you're waiting for me. I'm actually with you. It is I. Be not afraid." So let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we bring to you our fears. We bring to you our worries. We bring to you those moments and times where we feel that you haven't yet come to us and it's cold and it's dark. And Lord, if we feel close to you right now, we thank you for that. And we want to pray for brothers and sisters who are feeling in those vulnerable places, in those cold places, in those lonely places, in those dark places. And we ask that you would take all of us, Lord Jesus, into your presence, that we would know those words, your words to us, each and every one of us, saying, "It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Stop fearing. It is I." In your name we ask, Jesus. Amen. Amen.